It's such a pleasure to be here. I do know that I'm evidently amongst friends, although I've even questioned that because Brother Jeff Butler had the audacity to start a rumor yesterday, and I just wanted to clear it. First of all, that liquor would be served last night at the reception, and he had it going around that I would be imbibing more tequila than anyone else. So when I got my fifth cup of coffee, which was really just to stay awake so I could watch the dancing, he was giving me a bad thing, and I said, well, after all the tequila, I did need some coffee. So anyway, it's wonderful to be here, and we love each of y'all so much and so privileged to be a part of yesterday. I want to turn with you to John chapter 8 and verse 12. John 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. Christ is the light of life. If you had been up on the pulpit platform last evening when Olivia came in, and you would have seen Patrick's face and have seen her face, you would have known exactly what this text is all about. And it's the light of someone's life. Someone's life can make all the difference in your life. And it enlightens you, it encourages you, it brightens you, it lifts you. Someone can walk into the room, you know people like this, and when they come in, the whole room changes character. And it's because of the light of their life. And that's exactly what the Savior is saying about himself. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, don't think of this as just following a bunch of rules, like Christ is the light of the world, meaning he illuminates every rule and all the hard details you're supposed to follow. And if you'll just do that, then you'll have this phenomenal life. We've all tried that, and it's been dead and dull and dry and difficult. But here, he's saying, if you'll follow him, it's kind of like someone lights up the room. So when they go to the other room, you follow them into the next room, because everything they are affects everything that you are. And so Christ says, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Walk in your old doldrums, walk in your own wisdom, walk in your own discouragement, walk in the same things you've been doing for 100 years and thinking it's going to be different when it's never going to be different. We are to walk in the light of the life of Christ. And light makes all the difference in the world. I don't know about you, but I certainly have, even when I was young, bumped my head in the night because there wasn't enough light. And I had an old 70 pickup when we moved out to Austin, and it was already 20 years old. It's funny how things happen, because when I was taken to school when I was in eighth grade in my dad's truck that was 20 years old, I thought I would die. But then a few years later, I'm driving one that's that old. But anyway, the lights would go out, literally. You would be driving down the road, and for no good reason, the lights would go out. And it was frantic, and it had the old dimmer switch on the floor, and you would just stomp on the floor until the lights would come back on. We need light. We need the light of the life of Christ, or we're certainly not going to make it. When Chris and Melissa and the grandkids were out at Austin at Thanksgiving, we watched this movie called The Finest Hours, and it's a movie about the Coast Guard's finest hours of rescuing a ship that, because of a great storm, kind of like the perfect storm, was going to be capsized. In fact, eventually did sink just about the time they got the crew and all the members off the ship. But when the rescue ship came back, they had lined up, because the storm was so bad and the electricity had gone off on shore, they lined up automobiles with all their lights on so that the rescue ship could find their way back to the coast. And y'all need light, and I need light. Whatever you can confess today or say about yourselves, it will come back to the fact of the light of Christ. Amen. It's just that simple. Not just rules, the light of his very life in your being. Now this text is actually housed where Christ is teaching in the temple. And every night at this time of year during the festivities, there would be two huge candelabras. In fact, history says that the candelabras were so gigantic, they would actually light up, literally, much of that section of the city where the temple was. And so Christ is calling attention to the fact that they were so proud, they felt so great about the light they had. And remember now, these are people that do have the rules. These are the people that are following them so explicitly. These are the people that think they are the gift to the planet. And Christ speaks to them and says, I am the light of the world. And so I want to just say to you today, if you think Christianity, if you think your life is the epitome of what everybody ought to be, and it's following all the rules, and it's, you know, keeping everything to a T, and all such as that, if you're not actually, I'll use thanks to Jeff Butler, if you're not inebriated by the light of the life of Christ, I mean literally, if your life is not taken over by the joy of his presence, you don't have a clue what Christianity is. You're not even to first base. You may have a lot of rules, but then, by the way, Muslims have a lot of rules, right? I mean, Buddhists have a lot of rules. But that is not what this is talking about. The truths of Christ are actually to so affect us. And remember, it's possible because he said, when I go away, I'll send the Spirit unto you. And when he, the Comforter, is come, he said he will reprove, and then he gives several things that the Savior will do. And the word reprove, when the Holy Spirit comes, the word reprove means to convince. But it's more than just a mental conviction. It's actually that you are as if you were transported into a different life source. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's not only a 3D movie, but it's as if you were taken into the movie itself. It's as if the movie was being acted out. It'd be more like it was a play. And it's not just you're watching the play, but right in the middle of the play, you are actually invited up and you become part of the play in which Christ is there. And that's what the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, does to God's children through the gospel. He engulfs you into a totally different life blessing. And he says, follow me. So what's he saying? Well, he's saying very plainly, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. How many of you you enjoy the blessing coming here every Sunday, hearing Brother John preach? Phenomenal. How is it doing for you every day of the week? That's what this is saying. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall have the light of life. And he is saying very much like John Newton. You remember this hymn. Round each habitation hovering, see the cloud and fire appear. For a glory and a covering, showing that the Lord is near. And the Savior was drawing on that as well. In the Old Testament, when they traveled through the wilderness, what did they have? They had a pillar of fire. They had light. In other words, it was very difficult. They didn't know where they were going or where they were going to end up. They didn't have food. They didn't have water. But the pillar of fire, the light, God's very presence. Sorry about that. He knew they needed him, but they knew that he knew. Do you know that he knows? Do you know that he knows? That's what this is saying. I am the light of your world. If you walk in my light, he says, you will, very plainly, he says, not walk in darkness. You say, well, that just means I'll know what I'm supposed to do. Think of it again in more of a psychological way, an emotional way, a spiritual way. Have you ever heard someone say, I'm in a dark place? That's what this is talking about. Things are really dark right now. I mean, the lights are still working, right? The sun's still coming up. They mean, in my soul, I have such weight upon me, I cannot go on. Christ says, I am the light of the world, of your world, of my world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, the light of his life. Now, this should not surprise us because over and over and over again, the Savior is depicted as light, and his Father, our God, is depicted as the light as well. For instance, in 1 John 6, he says, in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, who having not seen, he says, we still love and honor and see his praise and power everlasting. So God is light. That's why Christ is light. I really want you to get this. Hebrews 1 says he's the brightness of the Lord's glory, the express image of his person. How do you view God this morning? Do you view God as this ogre in the sky that's out to ruin your life if you step one inch out of the way? Too often that's what Christians think. But Christ is the light of our life, and he is actually displaying for us what God's like. Oh, my friends, this is astonishing. This is amazing. This is important. You and I must have this. The fact that God is for us, and in knowing him, he lights up your world. I mean, to think I have a Father in heaven who loves me to the degree that he has loved me, gave his Son for me, the way he did. Friends, that's astounding. What do you do when you're in your dark place? Well, I usually eat a lot, you know. Half gallon of ice cream will do wonders while you're eating it. Then it's not so good. Alcohol's the same way, right? Or anything else. But we're to realize there's a God in heaven watching out for us. And Christ but displays that. We know about Christ. He would heal the woman who touched the hem of his garment. Did that lighten up her life? Oh, you better believe it did. When the woman came to Simon's house and washed his feet, and when she was basically hated by Simon, and Simon could not possibly comprehend why the Savior allowed her to touch him, yet the Savior lit up her life when her surroundings, as far as Simon was concerned, were very negative. And it's the same with us. For instance, 1 John 1 says, this is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. The God of heaven will enlighten your existence on earth. And I know that's true because Christ is the express image of the Father. Now, in the book of John, this is further, I think, nailed down because the Lord specifically says, or rather, the Savior specifically says that he's exactly like his Father. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. What is glory? It's light. Glory is simply the weight of light. You say light doesn't weigh anything. I'm talking about how it weighs down upon us. Glory is speaking of light that is so amazing that it affects you. You can't help but be astonished at it. And here the Savior says, the glory you've given me, the light of God becomes the light of Christ, and it's to be our light. That's what he's saying in all of this language. It's been prophesied. You say, well, Brother Dickey, why are you going through all of this? It is so bad when you get going with some message. It's been about 6 weeks ago, but I will never live this down. So instead of just saying, Brother Dickey, you know, like that, like I just did, I said, Brother Jesus. I said, you will say, Brother Jesus, how do you do that? I mean, that is an ego trip that, you know, is really bad. It's called your tongue going faster than your brain. Why do we look at these other scriptures that describe God being light and Christ being light? Because we don't get it. He said, Brother Dickey, give us some new information. This is the phenomenal information we need. And it's not something new. We've read how God is light. We've read how Christ is light. We've read that they're both light and that that light is given us. But I'm going to keep bombarding you. I'm going to keep pelting you. I'm going to keep, you know, just throwing this at you so that you get it, so that in your darkness, we all have those times, you remember there's light. And it's not in ice cream or tequila. It's actually in the Lord. It's your memory bank thinking again about what he has done for you. Isaiah 9. This is prophecy of Christ. The dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Of course, this is quoted in the New Testament. And it says, afterward, he did afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and the nations. And he said, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Do you remember that's what Zacharias said before the birth of John? Said there was a day coming to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide their way into the land of peace. That's the announcement of the coming of the Lord. So we drop back to Isaiah again. It says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. Isaiah 42, 6 and 7. I'll hold thine hand and keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light. Christ came to give light. That's what he is here for. Yes, he came to save us. That's light in itself. But he came to enlighten you to God's love for you. Isaiah 60, the sun shall be no more light. Why? Because we're living in the gospel day. And so Simeon, we spoke about before, he says, this is the different Simeon, I'm sorry. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles. What was Paul told when he was called to preach? He fell to the earth because a light arrested him. So it goes over and over and over again that we are given the blessedness of the light of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, let's back up a little bit and show how the light can enlighten us. Do you believe anything I've said today? Have you had just an inkling of experience in the darkness of life, the darkness of society? Maybe it's the darkness of a relationship. Have you had the blessedness of light? Light warms, light lifts, light blesses. Have you had Christ himself? Have you turned to him? Have you actually lifted up your soul in prayer at the moment when you could not go on and found there was light in him, in who he is? If that's true, you are astonishingly blessed. You say, how could that be? Well, because you would not know any of that if you were not already God's child. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says that there was a darkness that was so dark, you didn't know there was darkness. So I'm just saying, if you have a sense of darkness, even though perhaps the light is not what you want to be, you are enlightened already by the new birth. We call it regeneration, as the Bible does. What is it? As we're born from Adam, as we come at least from conception, unless God touches our hearts, we do not know the things of God. But in Ephesians 5, he speaks so plainly that we who were sometimes darkness, verse 8, but now are light in the Lord, he says we ought to walk in that light. But we were once darkness. Listen, if God doesn't touch someone's heart and all they have is the nature that they've received from Adam through their parents, they don't know diddly squat, right? They don't. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in right. They don't believe in wrong. They love the things of the world only. Brethren, do you love the Lord this morning? He's worked in your hearts. He's given you that light. Now, the evidence of that light actually gives you the encouragement to walk into the light I'm speaking about. The book of Colossians says the same thing again in chapter 1 and verse 12. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power and his patience and long-suffering. And he says, you who were giving thanks unto the Father, who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. If you translate something, the object that's being translated is passive. Someone else is doing the translating upon it. If you, this morning, if anyone, anywhere, has an awareness of the goodness and greatness of God, why, you're his child. And we've been looking at the fact of being his child means that you have this blessing of being enlightened. Well, what are some of those blessings that you have? Well, just stop and think of the fact that the Lord has given you his word. I I love to hear from people, whether it's email, you know, you get a text. Some of you use more other things, but that's all right. I'm not there yet. But just think of when the phone rings and you see someone's name pop up. In the dark place, would you say, but I don't feel it. I don't. Have you turned where he's promised to speak? I mean, when you're down and you need to hear from somebody, it's great to hear their voice on the phone, right? Here's the Lord's voice speaking to us. We need to turn there and actually read, I've loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. We need to read that his love is so phenomenal that neither, you know, life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Do you actually think that? You may need to turn to the Word. He's saying to you this morning, it's your name is on it. I have loved you this way. How much has he loved you? Well, it's depicted in the Word of God in many, many different ways. One of the most glorious ways is the fact that he speaks to us as his bride. Some of the language that Brother John read last night in the wedding ceremony. It's phenomenal language. And in the book of Hosea, he says, it shall be in that day. He says, thou shalt call me Ishai and shalt call me no more Baali. You say, well, what does that mean? He says, you'll call me your husband because I love you that much. That's phenomenal language. And he says, in that day will I make a covenant with them. And he's made a covenant with you. So the Lord loves you. I don't understand this. None of you look like you're this lovable, but anyway, it's what God said. He said, I have loved you. As my bride. You see, I feel cast off. Nobody cares. I don't know how I'm going to get on in life. Here's light. This is the Savior's love for you. I have loved you that much. Well, he gives us many other examples. He loves us as friends. You say, well, I don't have a friend in the world. Wrong. Very wrong. He says we are his friends. Friends stick closer than brothers, right? Friends encourage each other. Friends help each other. So you're a bride. You're a friend. You're a son, you're a child. The best you can think of is what Christ is to you. That's the light that the Savior is speaking about. That's what prayer is. It's going to your husband, or it's going to your friend, or it's going to your father, and it's speaking to him. I mean, all of a sudden, the world is not the dark place that we often think it is. Turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll notice three terms that he uses here to sum up this blessedness. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, he's just said before, walk in light. Walk in this blessing that the Lord has given you. And he says, this goodness, this righteousness, this truth is all a part of the light. So if Christ is our light, he's depicting God's light for us. Let's just notice for a moment those three things. Goodness. God's going to be good to you. I mean, just stop there. You say, well, I don't feel like he's being good to me. Doesn't feel like he's being good to me. Well, the Bible is far more authoritarian and effective than I am, but I was told last night I was the most senior preacher at the event. But it does carry some insight in the worst. God's been good. Oh, you don't not know how God's been good. On the verge of disaster, on the verge of discouragement, on the verge of, you know, just, well, you know, I've thought on occasion I didn't know if life was worth going on. God is good. Amen. Do you have that light? That's what that passage says. And then the fruit of righteousness. You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, I don't know. Does God ever give you introspective analysis? It's called morbidity. You know, you ever just think, I'm no good, I can't go on, I've really messed up? It says no. I look at you as righteous. You say, well, how can that be? Well, it's again kind of like Brother John charged the couple last night. Will you love each other when they're not, when your spouse is not lovable? Will you forgive them when they're not, when they haven't asked for forgiveness? That's a righteous thing. And it's what Christ has done for you. That's the light. He forgave you when you weren't even asking for forgiveness. He holds you in his heart. He's good. And he's righteous. And then the passage says, is that he has the light or the fruit of truth. So whatever's coming down the pike, and you can't figure it out, you can rest that he knows, and he'll be true to you. You know, when I've been down and out and just come to the end of my rope, I've thought, goodness, I wonder if Charlotte can get through this one. I've really, really given her a hard time. But you know what the truth was? She kept on loving. Is that the truth of the light of Christ that you live by? May God bless you richly. Love all of you. May you go to him and walk in the light that he is. I thank you.